Search and rescue dogs serve on the front lines, locating people missing after natural disasters, lost children, injured hikers, and others, being ready at a moment's notice to bravely endure the elements and save lives. Supreme Master Ching Hai, world-renowned humanitarian, artist, and spiritual teacher, speaks of her admiration and concern for these devoted canines.
And I saw many dogs, you know, they use for a rescue mission. They just walk in like nothing. But I feel so bad about them. Dogs walk in the sharp, broken glasses or anything like that, even chemical leaking or anything, or germs or danger. And these are precious dogs. They've been trained for years. And they even lay down their life for anyone at command. You have to protect that dog.
To show her loving support for search dogs and their human partners, Supreme Master Ching Hai has generously contributed more than $80,000 to search and rescue teams in 18 countries, including Australia, Belgium, Canada, Chile, China, the Czech Republic, Ecuador, France, Korea, Malaysia, Nepal, New Zealand, Panama, the Philippines, Slovenia, the Netherlands, the UK, and the USA.
Today's program features one of these courageous teams, Search and Rescue Dogs Australia, SARDA, based in the Mornington Peninsula. In the state of Victoria, Australia, SARDA is an all-volunteer, non-profit organisation that provides professionally trained search and rescue dogs that work together with human partners to locate lost and missing persons. The group services are provided free of charge to law enforcement agencies, on call 24 hours a day and 365 days a year. Members are always ready to provide assistance. Julie Cowan is president of the dedicated organisation.
Search and Rescue Dogs Australia, SARDA, was started about 15 years ago, and we have teams in Victoria, Queensland, New South Wales and Western Australia, and we just train dogs to save lives.
Depending on their personality and fitness level, team member Andrew Cowan says certain types of dogs will excel in search and rescue missions more than others.
Often we have to evaluate the pups in the litter to see there may only be one or two pups out of that complete litter that's suitable. Now, there are certain tests that we do with the pups. But basically what we want to see is the pup to be very inquisitive. And not frightened at all of humans. So these dogs are really very friendly. Doesn't matter who they are, they'll run up to them and they just love people. It's very difficult. The stats are worldwide that probably one in 400 dogs will actually make it to an operational status, pass all the tests and that.
An enormous amount of time is put into diligent training in various activities, situations, and search methods in preparation for missions.
How long did it take you to train your dog?
This is Will. He's only just 18 months old. He's been training since he was 7 weeks old. And he's about up to his fundamental skills assessment level, which is all the basic search training, which involves just obedience, agility, general searching area. And then I think probably in about 6 to 8 months, he'll be ready for his basic operational standard where we'll be able to go on a search.
And how often do you actually train the dogs?
I do something with them every day, something small. It's not necessarily a search, but it's a bonding thing. We officially train every weekend, and then we do go away for camps and do different exercises away on camps. It's a huge commitment. It takes probably around about 5,000 hours to train an operational search dog. So it's a lot of hours and a lot of commitment.
With their acute senses and great agility, the dogs are invaluable in conducting timely search and rescue missions and learn to work under varied conditions, such as in wilderness or open country, and during urban disasters. In wilderness searches, the canines are asked to locate individuals such as hikers, climbers, and vulnerable people such as children and the elderly, who have gone missing. In urban searches, the teams are asked to find victims of human cause or natural disasters.
Our area search dogs are refined dogs where the dogs come back to the handler and let them know that they found someone, then take the handler back to them in an area search. But in a rubble or disaster area, they have to stay with it. The standard for urban search and rescue says the dog must stay at the victim.
A strong relationship between the dog and their human partner is essential to build a successful search and rescue team.
We like to what we call imprint the pups. So virtually as soon as the pups are born, we'll take over an article of clothing that we've worn, and that'll go in the litter with all the pups, and then the pups will be attuned to our smell. It's very important to build the bond between you and the dog. You know, I've had him from 7 weeks old. He actually sleeps in the bedroom with us, so that they're constantly with us. He goes to work with us. Anywhere we go, the dog goes. So you have to expose them to all different environments, different surfaces, you know, steel ladders. Just put the dog into as many different situations you can when they're young, and then nothing will sort of faze them when they get older.
When we return, we'll see one of the more challenging training exercises for the canine members of Search and Rescue Dogs Australia. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, featuring Search and Rescue Dogs Australia, SARDA, a non-profit organisation that provides certified search and rescue dog and human teams to help law enforcement agencies in various Australian states find lost and missing persons. Currently, the all-volunteer SARDA has 28 members, 20 active dog teams, and 8 support members. The people involved come from diverse backgrounds, professions, and skill areas, an advantage that greatly contributes to the success of the group's activities. Let's now meet another brilliant canine hero and his human caregiver.
This is Kuno. My husband and I joined together. We're both really interested in making a difference, and SARDA gave us the opportunity to do that with our dog as well. Mm. And yeah, ultimately, hopefully save a life one day. Kuno has been training since he was about 9 weeks old. He's probably about halfway through, I'd say, so he'd probably need another year of training before he'll be qualified, I think. We'll start with baby steps usually, break down whatever task we're trying to get him to achieve into really small bits, and constantly reward him when he makes a little achievement so that you don't throw the real big daunting task at him all at once. Mm-hmm. When we're doing the agility, we reward as we go, but yeah. When we're doing searches, he gets his toy when he finds the person he's looking for.
According to their training and experience, search and rescue dogs may be versed in air scenting or trailing and tracking, or even both. In air scenting, a dog points her sensitive nose high in the air to locate human scent in open areas.
The dog will eliminate all the other people that are around, but he knows that there's someone else out there, so you don't need to give them an article of clothing.
Yeah, this is Gus. He's a male Labrador. He's coming up just nearly 8. He's a air-scenting search and rescue dog, so he'll find trapped victims, live victims under rubble or situation where they're lost in the bush. In that situation, he'll locate them, come back to us and give us a bark alert and then take us back to the victim. They've got a fairly incredible nose what they can do.
Let's now join Gus for a demonstration of his air-scenting search training.
I'm in a tree and I've got a search and rescue dog about to rescue me. Come on, see how we go.
That's a good lad. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where is he? Oh, good boy.
I've been found. Thank you. Thank you.
Compared to other types of searches, finding a person high in a tree is a much more challenging task for a canine.
The scent goes up quite high and then dissipates with the wind. So you saw the dog went beyond the person first and then worked out the scent cone, and the dogs will often circle around the tree and then make the circle smaller till they actually locate the persons.
This morning, because of the weather, the morning sun, it warms up the top of the trees, and because the cold air of around the base of the tree and the hot air rising from the persons, it was doing like a chimney effect. But all the foliage from the tree was also trapping the scent in and around the tree itself. So Gus had to sort of basically work his way around and then come in and in and in before he found the person. So plus we didn't have a lot of breeze either for the scent to travel. But that's what they'll do, you know. We call it the umbrella effect when there's a lot of foliage on the trees.
How does a dog know when he's going to work?
In an area search, he wears a jacket and with the bells on it. The bells are a trigger for him that he is working in an area search. And the jacket, you could put the jacket on the dogs now, our area search dogs, and they would know what they're doing. But with a rubble search, they just know. We put all their PPE on, helmets, gloves, knee pads. They all know that they're going to be working. So, but the area search with the bells, we know where they are in the bush at all times. And in Australia, the bush is thick.
During one of Australia's worst bushfires or wildfires, which seriously affected the state of Victoria in February 2009, Gus and another dog named River were sent in to help locate deceased members of disaster-stricken families. Please join us again tomorrow on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, to find out more about Gus and River's gallantry. For more details on Search and Rescue Dogs Australia, please visit www.sada.net.au. Courageous viewers, thank you for joining us today on our program. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news here on Supreme Master Television. May kindness and love grow among all beings.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/aw.